today on Real Radio.
I don't believe God exists. How come? There's a lot of evil in the world. Well, how do you know? You can't discern evil unless you know that there's good. So I'd flip that right back in your own head. We know that God exists because there is good. Think of that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Promise Keeper, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, God used the prophet Isaiah to speak mainly to his people in Judah and the city of Jerusalem. But God also gave Isaiah visions that were far into the future. For one, the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and also what's going to happen in the last days, and the events that lead to his new kingdom here on earth. In Isaiah chapter 26, we saw how it opened up with the words, "in that day," three very significant words that place a timestamp of what's being said. One future event will be God restoring his purpose for Israel while keeping them hidden from judgment. Deliverance is the hope of every true believer, and we will also be in his care, in a place that he's prepared for us in heaven. Now in Isaiah chapter 27, we'll see how the way God dealt with Israel as a nation is an example of his very person, nature, and character. So today, on day three of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that we see the signs of Christ's return all around us. The Jewish people are returning to Israel in great numbers, and the land is prospering. Our confidence in God keeping his promises is found in the reality of the Bible. When we lay hold of the Scriptures, they will become our stronghold. And now, continuing his lesson called The Promise Keeper, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
There will not be the full realization of that territory until a greater than Solomon comes. And when he comes, the full promise will be realized under his government. How fun and cool. And you say, well, that's not going to be fun because I don't believe it. Yeah, that's going to be hard for you if you're an anti-Semite and you don't believe in the Bible. I get that. But please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that everything Israel does today is good and right. That's not what God asked us to support them for. He asked us to pray for them. He asked us to share the gospel with them. They're his chosen people. Can they drive you crazy? They can drive you crazy. Are they hard to talk to? Very hard to talk to. Scary, brilliant people? Scary, brilliant people. More Nobel Prize winners have been Jewish than any other race in the world. Did you know that? They're scary smart. They're very independent and self-reliant and very stubborn. And I think God's trying to send us a picture that he's going to save them. Only he could save them. But he's promised to bless the entire earth through Israel. I love how that just flies in the face of CNN, Fox, and the UN, and everybody else. And verse 6 says, those who come, so you ought to mark that. Those who come, whoever they are, we don't know yet. We're just asking, who could these be? He shall cause to take root in Jacob. Look at this. Those who come, he, God, shall cause to take root in Jacob. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. That's yet coming. That's going to be the future. The amazing thing is Israel today has come from nothing to one of the great fruit producers in the world today, Israel. It's remarkable. I remember being in Russia in the dead of winter and all these amazing fruits and flowers for sale on kiosks on the street corners. In the middle of winter, all these amazing flowers and fruit. And you think, where did they get this? And you go up to, can I ask you, where in the world did you get this? It's Russia. It's 20 below zero. How did you do this? And they'll tell you, Israel. This comes from Israel. Planes come every other day from Israel with this stuff. Isn't that amazing? But here in the Bible, it says that Israel. You see, well, I don't believe the Bible. Okay, but can you entertain this for a moment? Israel, you can... the land is so fertile, you could spit and something might grow. He said, I thought it was all rocky. You should see what grows between the rocks. When last time we were in Israel, little bananas. And I'm thinking, we don't have little bananas like that in California. We got giant bananas. We don't make these wimpy ones. American bananas are huge. And I bit into that little thing, and I almost had like a psychedelic trip, man, of flavor. It's like, what? You know what it's called? It's called a banapple. They've mated the taste. Looks like a banana, smells like a banana. You bite into it, and it's like taking a bite of a banana and an apple at the exact same time. Banapple. I said, what is this? It's a banapple. And then I humbly, we don't have those in California. Little tiny thing packed with amazing flavor. They engineered that. I don't know why you just don't eat a banana and apple, but they thought in one bite, why take two bites when you can take one bite? I'm telling you, that's how they think. Very efficient. You could have two pieces of fruit in one fruit. But the Bible says they're going to be so much a blessing, they're going to bless the entire earth with fruits. So you just say, I don't believe that, but I'll write it down and I'll wait and see. And you keep your eye on Israel's fruit production. Even though they got a lot of hardship coming and difficult days ahead of them, when Jesus returns, that country's going to produce fruit for the entire world. And we in California ought to appreciate that more than anybody else on the planet. I hope you guys all know, I don't know how it is today because I've kind of fallen away from the data, but California used to be, when you go up to Salinas, you ever been to Salinas? If you haven't, we should take a field trip up there and give glory to God. And I'm not joking. When you get up into Salinas, your jaw will drop because you'll drive for miles and it's artichokes. You drive for miles and it's berries. You drive for miles and it's lettuce. You drive for miles and it's cucumbers. You drive for miles and it's celery. Have you ever been there? It's absolutely amazing. Just in from Monterey. That's where John Steinbeck wrote The Grapes of Wrath. Did you know what the Salinas is known, that valley? It's known as I heard it over here, the salad bowl of America. Some say the salad bowl of the world. Amazing. California, crazy, crazy place, California. Largest almond producer. I heard recently, largest almond producer in the world, surpassing Israel and Turkey. California. Rice. Did you know that we are one of the major rice producers in the world, California? Isn't that weird? But we should appreciate it. So, California, listen, there's going to be a day when Israel takes the lead. God will do that. Those who come, though, this is what we're talking about. Those who come, get your pen ready because we got to fly. We're going to give you a bunch of verses. You ready? Now, remember, I'm feeling really sarcastic and sassy tonight, so I'm approaching this from the position of you're a big skeptic. I appreciate big skeptics. See, I don't believe this stuff. Okay, good. Listen, those who come, who could that possibly be? Isaiah 43, verse 3. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba, that's Saudi Arabia today, the Saudi region, Sheba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored. This is God speaking. And I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. Mary speaking to Israel. But remember, you don't believe this. You're just reading with me. I will bring your descendants from the east. Has that happened?
Yes.
And is it happening tonight? Yep. And gather you from the west. Yep. Isn't that interesting? Jews in Canada and America are moving back to Israel, but they've never lived there before. They say, we're going back. See, oh, you used to live there? No, we just feel like we should move to Israel. Look what's happening in France. There's a mass exodus of Jews leaving France right now. And France is freaking out because it's affecting their economy. Verse 6, I will say to the north, give them up. By the way, that's a military. It's the only one out of the west and the east. But God says, I will command the north, give them up. He'll tell them. When the wall fell down in the Soviet Union, 600,000 Jews who were born and raised in Israel left Russia and moved to Israel because Mr. Gorbachev had to tear down that wall. Could that be related? All we know is some 600,000 Jews moved to Israel from the north. And to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Has that happened? What about Amos 9:14? I will bring back the captives of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities. Has that happened? And inhabit them. Boy, has that happened. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. Some of Israel's wine labels are the best in all of Europe. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in their land. Whose land? God says it's their land. And no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I've given them, says the Lord your God. By the way, Amos 9, he says once they're in there, they're not getting out. Listen, this is going to drive people crazy in the world. They want Israel to leave. They're not going anywhere. God says they're not leaving. UN can make all the plans they want. They're not going. God says it's not going to happen. Zechariah 12:2. You guys okay? We got to hurry? I mean, you're fine. I'm the one that needs to hurry. Zechariah 12:2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people, the nations around them. And they, that is the nation, shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. He's talking about a future battle. And in that day, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone to all the nations. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people or the nations of the earth be gathered together against it. Wow. That should be your policy for your country. Before we do anything else, we better check out this verse in the Bible. Don't mess with Israel. Joel chapter 3, verse 1. For behold, in those days and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, Kidron Valley. That you already know where that is. If I pointed out, you'd see it all the time. And I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered. The Gentiles have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. Interesting. Give land for peace is the cry of the politics of the world. They have cast lots for my people. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord has appeared to old of me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt, O virgin of Israel. You shall again be adorned with your tambourines, and you shall go forth in the dances of those who rejoice. You shall plant vines on the mountains of Samaria. And the planters shall plant and eat them as ordinary food. If you go to the mountains of Samaria today, there are literal vineyards there. It's as though farmers looked at the verse and went and planted grape vineyards. I've seen it, been there with my own eyes. Amazing! God keeps his promises. And he'll keep his promises to you because he's going to keep his promises to Israel. Here's a parenthetical insert, by the way. It's something that the Holy Spirit drops in right in the middle of the prophecy. He says, verse 7, has he struck Israel as he struck those who struck him? The answer is no. Or has he been slain according to the slaughter of those who were slain by him? No. In other words, God destroys his enemies, but Israel, he spanks. He chastises, he disciplines. Verse 8. In measure, by sending it away, you contended with it. He removes it by his rough wind in that day of the east wind. Verse 9, therefore, by this the iniquity of Jacob will be covered. Interesting. Somehow Israel's sins are going to be dealt with. And this is all the fruit of taking away his sins. When he, that is Jacob, makes all the stones of the altars like sandstone that are beaten down or beaten to dust, wooden images and incense altars shall not stand. In other words, there's going to be a day coming when Israel will turn from its paganism and seek God, and Israel itself is going to take its pagan practices, and you name it, the things that they've allowed. Jews are very spiritual people, but they don't believe in God, they say. Isn't that weird? It's kind of a shock when you go to Israel. You see a Jew. Oh, you want to hug him. You believe in God. They'll often tell you, I don't believe in God. I believe in Kabbalah. I believe in horoscope. I believe in zodiac. I believe in New Age. I believe in Gaia, Mother Earth. I believe everything else, but you don't believe. I don't believe in God. Why don't you believe? I'm a Christian. I'm come all the way here. I thought everybody here would believe in God. I thought you guys would kind of glow in the dark, believing in God. And what's the deal? I don't get it. Number one, Ezekiel says they would come back into their land in unbelief. And number two, they don't believe right now. The veil's over their eyes. And then when you ask them, why do you not believe in God? And that's when the fun begins. I don't believe in God because where was God when we were going through the Holocaust? I'll give you one word that will disprove the existence of God. Tell me, what is it? Hitler. How could Hitler, if God is real, how could, and where was he? Oh, I get it. Time out. I get it. It's not that you don't believe in God. You don't like what God has allowed. You're all upset with him. You don't disbelieve. You don't approve of him. You see? That's true for maybe some of us tonight. I don't believe God exists. How come? There's a lot of evil in the world. Well, how do you know? You can't discern evil unless you know that there's good. So I would flip that right back in your own head. We know that God exists because there is good. Think of that. In Psalm 130, verse 7, the Bible says, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Psalm 130, verse 7, is the answer to verse 9. He's going to do it, ladies and gentlemen. Verse 10 and 11, I'll just paraphrase it for time's sake. He's talking about now he shifts back to the present day of Isaiah's day. There's famine, drought throughout the land, and the land is languishing and perishing. Verse 12, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will thresh from the channel of the river, that's the Euphrates, to the brook of Egypt. The 1,000-year millennial reign, city limits or national limits of Israel. And you will be gathered. Look at this, everybody. Remember, we don't believe the Bible tonight. We're skeptics. And you will be gathered one by one, O you children of Israel. It's not Palestine. It's not Canada. It's not Chino Hills. It's Israel. You will be gathered. That's what is called Zionism. You want to see people get nasty on the internet? Just look up Zionism. People freak out. Did you know that God is a Zionist? Do you know what Zionism means? Zionism means this. It is defined as the regathering of the Jewish people back into their ancestral land promised by God to Abraham. This will eventually have its full completion when God gathers the whole house of Israel to himself at what is referred to as the end time or the tribulation period, or as the Jews hold the end of days. Zionism is Israel's regathering into their land. Did you know that? That's what it means. You mention Zionism today and people want to beat you up. They don't even know what it means. It's interesting. God's a Zionist. God is a Zionist. I'm going to bring my people back into their land. That's what it means. He's going to move them back home. Man, we're out of time. Where did the time go? Just this, we have to end this. We're just there. Verse 13, so it shall be in that day, a great trumpet will be blown. Wow, a great trumpet will be blown. That's a reference to Joel chapter 2, verse 15. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even the nursing infants, let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. That's key. In that day, a great trumpet will be blown to gather the nation of Israel together. Isn't it interesting? For those of you, we don't have the time, but go back and look at Isaiah 26, verses 20 to 21, about the bridegroom scooping up the bride and putting her in her wedding chambers while he comes out of that place to punish the inhabitants of the earth because of their sin. When Israel's restored at the end of the tribulation period, he's going to go get his bride. Remember, the Bible says that his robe is splattered with blood. Isn't that something? He gets her, the bride of Christ. He puts her on white horses, plural, and he leads the way. And the Bible tells us that out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword, that with it he should strike the nations in judgment. And he's going to show up, the Bible tells us, in the eastern sky. He will gather together the forces in Armageddon with the Antichrist, and he's going to speak one word. A severe sword will come out of his mouth and destroy with one word the Antichrist, with the breath of his mouth, it says. He's going to deal with Leviathan, that wicked serpent, the devil. Wow, this is deep stuff, man. I better end because I could totally abuse you all night. We have so much still to go, and it's too bad. Father, we come tonight, and your word is beyond us. We're grateful for that, God. It's as though, Lord, our shoes should be off tonight in this amazing chapter. And how awesome is it that we worship the God who knows no limits of time or space? He told this man Isaiah 3,000 years ago these prophecies. And here we are tonight in the 21st century. Israel's on the map. The Jews have come back from all over the world. The land is prospering. The world is becoming unhinged. We see the signs of your coming. Wow. Thank you, God, for being so absolutely amazing. And Father, I pray that tonight, as messed up as this study has been for us to go through and disjointed, I pray that we'd leave tonight with a real reverence for the depth of your word, that there's no greater commentary on the Bible than the Bible. May the truth that you keep your promises warm our hearts tonight, keep us safe in our souls and our minds. Those that are struggling tonight, hurting, pain, sorrow, illness, disease, broken hearts, wounded, your promises come in like light coming through a window. You're so good, Lord. And in our closing song tonight, may we express our appreciation of your goodness. Church, let's stand and bless him as we sing his praise.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Promise Keeper. Thanks for joining us today. And how do we make God's promises our own? Well, by recognizing that we're on solid ground when it comes to leaning on him. The Old Testament saints did it, the disciples did it, the apostles did it, and best of all, Jesus did it while here on earth. The Promise Keeper is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, Isaiah was prophesying about the nation of Israel, but God really is a very personal God. He really does have a plan for your life. That's why it's our prayer here at Real Radio that you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. In a world of uncertainty, Jesus wants you to put your faith and trust in him. It really is a good position to be in, the best if you ask me. He's the only one that died and rose again so that you can spend eternity in heaven with him. But if you're struggling with questions about salvation, well, we'd like to help. Pastor Jack has a tab at his website. It's called Know God. It's right there at the website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's Know, K-N-O-W, God. And it's designed to give you a clear understanding of all that God has for you and all that he's done for you. So head on over to our website and click on that tab called Know God. It's an excellent way to get your questions answered and also provide you the information you need to share Jesus Christ with others. It's all there at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.